shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Friends, for a few minutes this morning, I want us to talk about the touch of Jesus. Before we get into the lesson, again, if you're visiting, we are glad that you're here with us this morning. If you're not a New Testament Christian, we always encourage everyone the need to do that. Christ is going to come back for his church. He's going to come back for his church, not someone else's church, and take it up to heaven. And we want to be ready when he does that. Please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. We are going to begin there and look at several other verses along with this account. And Luke chapter 5 and verse 12. And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but to go and show yourself to the priest and to make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. John 11:25. Friend, that is the hope that we have. That is the message that we have, that Jesus can touch us. We can become alive. This is the message from heaven. And Jesus sees this man, this leper. And you think about that disease where this man would have been dying. And sometimes when you're around people and there's just that odor of death and their breath, it's like, you know, there's this sickness and you don't want to be around them. But when Jesus touched this man, he was made unwhole. He went from unclean to clean. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 2, behold, a leper came to him. This is a parallel account. Bowed down to worship him. Bowed down. This is the word for worship. This leper knew enough about Jesus to know that he was worthy of worship. He said, if you are willing. You know, we can almost feel the pain, the loneliness, the rejection, isolation of this man. He knows the power that Jesus has to heal him, but he does not know if Jesus is willing to heal him. This is a pitiful plea of the leper. We can almost see him reach out to touch Jesus. Is Jesus going to touch him, or is Jesus going to draw back from him? Think about this. He worships him. He bows down. He asks, if you are willing. It's as though he were begging. He were pleading. And Jesus, he touched him. How long had it been since the leper had been touched? We don't know. Lepers were not people privileged to experience the joy of a human touch. And to have Jesus reach out and touch him was a demonstration of his love and compassion. He had never seen that from Jesus, and he had never seen that probably for a long time from anyone else, where he could even just enjoy and experience the human touch. So what is a leper? A leper is derived from lepus, which means a scale. It is so called because the disease shows itself in dry, thick scales or scabs, which are white. In common leprosy, multiple passages in the Old Testament that tell us about this. The spots are usually about the size of a dollar. This man was full of leprosy. His body was thoroughly infected with the disease, and the disease was in its worst form. He was full of it. Today we would say someone has cancer, and you ask, what stage is it in? And when someone says stage four, or the person is full of cancer, we know what is coming next. These are some photographs of two different people that have leprosy. And again, the skin, it's this disease which basically just rots the body away. And they would have to stay in colonies and yell out unclean. But this man goes to Jesus and asks him, he worships him, he bows down and he asks him, if you are willing. Notice the miserable condition of this man. In verse 12 of Luke chapter 5, he was full of leprosy. His terrible condition, his disease had reached its final stage. He was full. And you think about that, we feel pity for a person like that. But think about somebody with sin. Sin is a terrible disease. Sin is not going to kill us just physically. It will cause eternal death. You think about sin, and again, thinking of it spiritually, it poisons our heart. It poisons our blood, it goes throughout our body, and it takes over. Sin affects our heart, where the issues of life come from our heart, and that heart becomes poisoned. Leprosy was a miserable condition, a deadly condition, and so is sin. But notice the inspiring revelation. The leper saw Jesus in verse 12. And friends, when we open our eyes, we will see Jesus spiritually. Seeing Jesus will never fail to awaken hope in this dark world of sin, in our hearts that are crushed by sin. Friends, we need to see Jesus. We need to have that desire to see Jesus. You think about Moses. What did Moses want? He wanted to see the face of God. He wanted that relationship where he could see him. And this leper probably had heard of Christ's many works just because of the popularity of him. And we can just imagine this leper with these sad eyes looking at him. But now when he is made whole, he sees the world in a whole different light. And so should we, when we have been full of sin and we are healed by the great physician, our eyes should see the world in a whole new light. This leper believed the report and his faith had been turned into sight. You think about the contrast here between these two people. A man full of compassion, Christ, and a man full of leprosy, the Savior seeking a sinner. Well, notice the humble position. It says he fell on his face in verse 12. Humility. Humility. And it happened when he was in a certain city that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus and he fell down on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Seeing the face of God should always make us hide our face and bow down. This is the outward expression of an inward conviction. This is recognizing when we see God, when we recognize who God is, the only option that we have is to bow down and worship Him. And we see this throughout the Bible. We see this with Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. We see it with Peter in Luke 5 and verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." When is the last time we felt like falling down before Christ and saying, "I am unworthy"? We just get so desensitized by the world and by the sin that we are surrounded with all the time. We think, "Well, I'm better than this person, I'm better than that person." And it's until we realize that we are without hope, like this leper, when we are without hope, when we are dying, when we realize that Christ is what we need and He is the only answer and He's the only one that can save us, then we are going to fall down. And with John in Revelation 1:17, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last.'" We live in such a casual, indifferent society as far as respect for God, respect for institutions, respect for God's word. We need to have a humble position like this leper did. Notice the petition, this sincere petition. "Lord, if you are willing," he's asking him, he's stating it, but he's asking, "if you are willing," but he asks in confidence, "you can make me clean." The prayer of this poor outcast was to the point. Notice some things that this prayer reveals. When the leper says this, this shows that he had a knowledge of the character of Christ. "If thou wilt, thou canst. Is anything too hard for the Lord? You think back of all the things that God did in the Old Testament. Abraham being a father, Sarah bearing a son. Is anything too hard for God? Nothing. We know God spoke the world into existence, just his words. This earth, this universe, he controls everything. "If you are willing, you can make me clean." We know God can do anything. And when we doubt that, when we doubt his power and divinity, it's like going up to a locked door and knocking on a locked door, and we aren't going to get in because we're doubting. And that's why with our prayers, we have to ask in faith. We have to ask believing that God is going to answer us. We have to ask for what is best for us. Sometimes I've used the example when someone told me one time, when you pray for this, don't be so specific, but pray to God to give me what I need in this situation. Pray to God to give me this in such a way that I will be able to serve you the best. And sometimes we limit the power of God. I shouldn't say limit the power, but we ask for something that is so specific that it is not to our best interest for God to answer that prayer. This prayer also brings out the burning desire of the leper to be made clean. He confesses his need. He pleads for personal cleansing. Maybe because, well, he was dying. He knew he was dying. He had leprosy. When we have sins, maybe we don't come before God, before Christ, because we think, well, people don't see my sin. Maybe if people saw our sins, we would fall down on our face and come before Christ and ask to be made clean. You know, in the Old Testament, it was the work of the high priest to make atonement that the people might be clean from all their sins before the Lord. Leviticus 16:30. If we confess our sins, he, our high priest, Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive us. 1 John 1:9. Well, notice also this instant and perfect salvation. This perfect means it was complete. He was completely healed. Now, to touch a leper resulted in ceremonial defilement of the one that touched the person. Back in the old law, you were not to touch a leper or you would become defiled. You touched something that was unclean. The lepers were to warn people. They were to stay away from people. But in touching the leper, Jesus again showed his power and authority over and beyond the law of Moses, which forbade touching a leper. And also notice when Christ touched him, the cure was instant. You think about this and compare it to what you see on television miracle hearing or miracle shows that we might have seen or conventions. Christ's cure was instantly. It was performed without physical effort on his part. It was free of incantations, of showy prayers, hysterical behavior. You see somebody on TV today and they want to have a great big crowd watching them do this. They want to jump up and down and say things and do like they're putting on a show. And then they'll say whatever they say, and then maybe the person is healed. They say, maybe you gotta do more. The person that's blind doesn't see. The person that has lost this or that, he isn't made whole. Jesus' healing is so different than what we see people say today. He stretched forth his hand. Jesus stretched forth his hand and touched him. And remember, it was considered dangerous to touch a leper. And the one that would touch a leper would become unclean. But Jesus touched him with healing power. When he touched Jesus, he said, "I will be thou made clean." The leper had thrown himself on the mercy of Jesus, and his faith was strong enough to bow down at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus said, "I will." Some think that Jesus violated the law of Moses when he stretched out his hand and touched the leper. But when we look at the law had been given for those who were subjects to the law, but Jesus himself was the lawgiver. Jesus was the lawgiver. The man was healed immediately. Straightway, the leprosy departed from him. The cure was instant. The leprosy, the cause of his defilement, departed from him the very moment that Jesus spoke. And Christ often defied this touch not saying. Matthew 8:4, Jesus said unto them, "See thou tell no man, but go show thyself to the priest, offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." So we've got instances also where in some cases Jesus told the person to go and tell this to everybody. Go and reveal what I did. In other cases, he said, conceal it. Don't reveal what just happened. So what's the difference? Well, when we get into this, sometimes he'll tell somebody to proclaim what happened. Another time, he tells them to be quiet. For one thing, for this miracle to be properly attested, it was necessary that the appropriate gifts should be offered after Moses' commandment that the priest should certify it. Jesus didn't want this leper going and telling people that he had been healed until the priest certified it. Until this was accomplished, he should hold his peace. If a rumor of things got out about this and went to the priest in Jerusalem, out of envy, these priests at Jerusalem, which most of Jerusalem was against Christ and the power that he had, they could depreciate what Jesus had done. They might have said, "Well, this man was never even a leper, and now he's not really clean. You know, he was never a leper to begin with." So this man was to be quiet, to go to the priest, have them certify it. But Mark's account reveals that the leper disobeyed the Lord's command not to tell the matter in Mark 1, 44 and 45. So with this, why would Jesus not want someone to tell what had happened? What's going to happen when Jesus performs a miracle? There's a sensation that takes place. Then everybody wants to come to Jesus to be healed. In this person's, this leper's enthusiasm of the blessing received, and others, they often forget what Jesus told him to do, and they start telling people, look what happened to me. They're so excited. I was a leper. Now I'm made whole, completely whole. Jesus did not want to arouse this excitement in the crowd, nor would he expose himself or the cleansed leper to violating the law. You see, they were still under the law of Moses, and Jesus didn't want this leper to do something contrary. Because if the people said, why didn't you do this? And the leper said, well, Jesus told me to do this instead. That would be Jesus not telling them to keep the law. And with this purification of the leper back in Leviticus 14, there were two stages of that. There were these ceremonies and offerings, often united with confessions of sin, pollution, and a grateful acknowledgement of God's mercy. But we read, but so much more went abroad the report. Jesus had commanded this leper to tell no man, but the report of what Jesus had done had went abroad. Great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed of their sickness. This disobedience of the man who had been healed and telling about his cure caused the great multitude to come together to hear. They came to hear Jesus and to be healed of their sickness. So you stop and think about this. In some places, Jesus, in Mark 1:45, it said that he could no longer enter into the city, both because it had become known that he touched a leper in the crowds and excitement, attracting the suspicion of the authorities. The Pharisees were always looking for something to get Jesus on. They would come at him, you know, he broke the law. And then the ones that saw that he was healed, they would come because they would want to be healed also. You stop and think about this, that puts Jesus in a box, because Jesus has to retreat. He has to go away from the crowds now, but this man that has just been healed is free to go anywhere. Mark brought out the connection between the man's disobedience and the necessity of Jesus from the populated area. But the same thing is inferred in Luke, where the report concerning Jesus by the cleansed man went abroad, the great multitudes coming to him, and the fact that he withdrew into the deserts are all recorded. So Jesus, he had a reason behind everything that he said. But notice again, there's this atoning touch. He touched him. The holiness of God comes into contact with man and all its defilement. When he touched him physically, he was healed. The Holy One, that light that shines in darkness, the one that came to carry our sins, to bear our sins on the cross that we might have life. And sometimes when Jesus would go about teaching, and it was said that never a man spoke such as this, and friends, never a man touched such as this. You think about the power that Jesus had within him. Well, also notice this assuring word, I will, be thou clean. With his healing touch comes his word of assurance. Now when the leper asked Jesus, he probably had this fear in his heart, what if Jesus says, no, go away from me? But with the touch comes his word of assurance. And you stop and think, we are saved by his blood and we are assured by his word. How do we know we are saved by the blood? We are assured by the word. By the word. His touch of love is accompanied with the power of the word. He speaks and it is done. And there is complete deliverance. Immediately the leprosy departed from him. The leprosy was not going to trouble him anymore. And friends, you read about this and the leper and his excitement to go and tell everybody. And I think of the Ethiopian treasurer after he was baptized. And what did he do? He went on his way rejoicing because he was full of joy. He was full of joy. The treasurer had been healed of his sins. He had been baptized. His sins were forgiven. You think about the different illustrations to compare Jesus getting rid of our sins. And one of them is like taking all of our sins and bundling them together and taking them out and dropping them in the deepest part of the ocean. And our sins are gone. They're gone. We don't have to worry about them anymore. And finally, in this account, we have a special commission. Go and show thyself unto the priest in verse 14. And showing himself unto the priest and offering according as Moses commanded, he was bearing testimony unto them that Jesus came not to set aside the law, but to fulfill it. The work of Christ, whenever he did something, it can stand great inspection by critics that he did this wrong or he did that wrong. But when we see the power of Christ, again, we see him as having power over everything, the lawgiver, and with this leper giving a testimony unto them, every one of us, when we are baptized, when we have our sins forgiven, when we are made whole, we are to be a testimony to the world. We don't go and tell the priest, we go and tell the world. We go and show the world. So you see, when we look at this account of the leper, this story is about each one of us. It's about each one of us. This leper was in a miserable condition. He was inspired thinking and seeing Jesus. When he sees him, he recognizes who he is. And again, back to what I said in class, it's easy to teach somebody the truth. It's hard to get him to change. But he bows down and worships him. He asked him to make him whole. When Christ does, it's instant, it's complete, and then he tells him something to do. Friends, each of us need to see the condition that we are in. We are lost. We've all sinned. We've broken God's law, and because of that, we need to be reunited with God, or else we will never be in his presence. We aren't going to see Jesus face to face like the leper did, but we can see him face to face when we open our Bible and read and see what God tells us to do. And when we do that, we need to humble ourselves. We have to ask Christ, you know, have mercy on me. None of us deserve what Christ does for us. We need to ask Christ to have mercy on us. We need to confess him as our Lord and Savior, the Son of God. We need to change. We need to repent of those sins that we have committed. We need to obey his commands to be buried in baptism so we can come in contact with that blood. And then he gives us that special commission too, to go and tell the whole world. And it shouldn't be something that we dread doing. It shouldn't be a job. It should be like the Ethiopian treasurer. We go on our way rejoicing. We can show people what God has done for us, the hope that we have, the home that we have to look forward to in eternity. Friends, if there's anyone here this morning that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, We invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.